Welcome to the deep dive. We're tackling a topic today that directly impacts how you think about your own health, and specifically the data you use to make decisions about it.
Yeah, it's a huge topic.
It really is. The mission for this deep dive is to explore the modern obsession with direct-to-consumer blood panels. You know the ones. You see these targeted ads on social media all the time.
Absolutely, they're everywhere.
Right. The promise that if you just send in a few vials of blood to some, startup, you can unlock all your biological secrets, find your hidden flaws, and optimize your life.
It's an incredibly appealing pitch.
Exactly. Because you're genuinely trying to be proactive about your health, or you want to catch problems early. But what often happens is that you end up staring at a smartphone app, just completely overwhelmed by a dashboard full of red flags and confusing numbers.
It is a very familiar scenario, and it is the exact reason we are looking at our foundational text for today, which is A Practical Field Guide to Blood Work Interpretation by Dr. Zain Hakeem.
Such a great source.
It is. And the text opens with an incredibly relatable, inciting incident to really illustrate this exact trap. Dr. Hakeem had a patient who was super healthy. I mean, she was active, really on top of her daily habits.
Right.
And she decided to order one of these massive, comprehensive wellness panels. She wasn't sick at all. She was just trying to get more information to, optimize her routine.
Which makes sense on paper.
Right. But when the PDF report hit her inbox, she saw a glaring red flag for something called low leptin.
And naturally, the panic just sets in.
Yeah.
Because leptin is the hormone that tells your brain you are full, right?
Exactly.
So she immediately starts spiraling. She wonders if her metabolism is completely broken. Does she need some kind of obscure, highly expensive supplement to fix it?
She goes right down the rabbit hole.
She does. She starts Googling the term, asking AI chatbots, reading the little blurb provided by the testing app itself. And very quickly, she is handed a neat, tidy, pseudoscientific story about why her biology is fundamentally broken.
But the author steps in here with a guiding quote that really frames our entire discussion today. And the quote is, "For any complex question, there is a solution that is simple, elegant, beautiful, and wrong."
I love that quote. It is so perfect for this.
It captures the core danger of these direct-to-consumer panels perfectly. Just because a number is colored red on a screen does not make it medically important.
Right.
It is the context and the meaning behind that number that makes it either relevant or entirely irrelevant. Interpreting blood work is incredibly complex. It takes physicians years of rigorous medical training to learn, and frankly, some still struggle with the nuances.
Yeah, we have been conditioned to assume that every single abnormal result we see deserves an interpretation, a root cause theory, and an immediate action plan. But most of the time, that isolated result is actually meaningless.
Exactly. Which brings us to the roadmap for today's deep dive. If you want to look at your health data the way a great doctor does, the text outlines three mandatory pillars.
And these are crucial.
They are. For any blood test to actually mean something for your health, it must be reliable, interpretable, and actionable.
Reliable, interpretable, actionable.
Yes. If a test fails even one of those pillars, the data isn't just useless.
It can actually lead you down a very dangerous path.
Precisely. So let's start with that first pillar, which is reliability.
Let's do it.
Before you can even begin to worry about what a red number on an app means, you have to know if that number is solid. We have this inherent societal trust in medical technology.
We do. You sit in a chair, someone draws your blood, and you just assume the multi-million-dollar lab machines processing it are flawlessly precise down to the decimal point.
But the truth is, they just aren't.
Yeah, okay, let's unpack this. Because the author actually ran a personal experiment to prove this exact point, and the visual of this is just staggering.
It's one of the best parts of the text.
He wanted to test the machines themselves. So he sat down and had 15 separate tubes of blood drawn from his own vein in a single puncture. Same vein, the exact same moment in time. He then took those 15 tubes and sent them to the exact same commercial lab, but under 15 different fake names, just to see what the machines would spit back out.
It's a brilliant test.
You would assume, logically, that the numbers would come back entirely identical. It is the exact same blood.
The data tells a very different story. The results varied by much more than you might expect from high-end medical equipment.
What were the numbers like?
Well, for example, his bicarbonate levels ranged from 21 to 26 across the samples. His potassium ranged from 4.5 to 5.0. And his testosterone swung wildly,
How wildly?
from a low of 454 all the way up to 498. That is a difference of more than 40 points from the exact same blood drawn at the exact same second.
Wow.
And statistically speaking, by only running 15 samples, he likely didn't even capture the full extreme range of that machine's possible variability.
Think about what that means for you sitting at home. If you get a single blood test and your testosterone comes back at 454, you might think you are declining.
Yeah.
You might start looking into therapies.
Exactly.
But you have no way of knowing what your real number actually is. It could just be ordinary measurement noise built into the hardware of the machine.
But it is not just the machines. There is a second massive source of variance, which is your own biology. You are not a static entity.
Right. Your levels change day to day, hour to hour, and even based on the weather.
The author did another experiment to demonstrate this biological variance. He had his blood drawn right before a workout and then again immediately after the workout.
And what happened?
His testosterone shot up from 381 to 536.
That is a jump of over 150 points simply because he moved his body.
Exactly. Or consider cholesterol markers. Things like LDL and ApoB are known to fluctuate naturally.
Wait, before we go further, just for clarity, what exactly is ApoB in this context?
Good question. ApoB, or apolipoprotein B, is essentially a structural protein that sits on the surface of your bad cholesterol particles. It is often used as a more precise marker for cardiovascular risk than standard LDL. But the point is, both LDL and ApoB fluctuate by about 10 to 16% based purely on the season of the year.
Really? Just from the seasons?
Yes. So if you draw your blood in the dead of winter and then retest 6 months later in the middle of summer, the natural yearly cycle of your body can make the numbers look dramatically different, even if your underlying health hasn't changed at all.
That completely flips how we usually think about tracking our data.
Huh.
If you are comparing two different test results from different months and seeing a change, that change does not automatically mean your new diet is working,
right,
or that your health has shifted.
Right.
It could just be natural biological variation layered on top of lab machine imprecision.
Yeah.
The big takeaway for you, the listener, is that you have to view lab numbers as having invisible error bars next to them.
Yes.
The text notes, a good rule of thumb doctors use is roughly plus or minus 20%.
What's fascinating here is how these giant direct-to-consumer wellness panels actually weaponize that statistical variance against you.
How so?
The math is undeniable. The more values you measure, the higher the mathematical probability that you will find an abnormality purely by chance.
Well, that makes total sense.
If a company checks 20 different labs on a perfectly healthy person, that person has a 64% chance of finding an abnormality by pure luck.
64%.
And if you upgrade to the premium package and they check 50 labs, that likelihood jumps to a massive 92%.
A 92% chance. They are practically guaranteeing that they will find something wrong with you just by running enough tests.
Exactly. And they double down on this by shrinking the reference ranges.
Right.
They take the standard scientifically established normal ranges and narrow them to invent proprietary optimal ranges, often based on incredibly weak evidence or pure marketing.
So your result is perfectly healthy, but their app paints it bright red and labels it non-optimal. Suddenly, you feel like a patient.
Which leads us directly into the second pillar.
Hmm.
Even if we assume the machine is perfect and the number on the page is 100% accurate, we have to talk about interpretation.
Pillar number two.
Yes. An abnormal result does not automatically mean disease. Those statistical ranges on your lab report just show where a certain percentage of not actively ill people fall. They do not dictate what is biologically necessary for your specific body.
The text uses a great analogy about hemoglobin to make this click. Hemoglobin is the protein in your red blood cells that carries oxygen.
A very important protein.
Yes. So imagine two different people who both get lab work done and both come back with abnormally high hemoglobin levels. The numbers are identical.
But the clinical pictures are entirely different. The first person is an untreated sleep apnea patient.
Okay.
Because they literally stop breathing multiple times a night, their body is starved for oxygen. To keep them alive, the body compensates by producing more hemoglobin to grab onto whatever little oxygen is left.
That makes biological sense.
Now, the second person is an elite endurance athlete who trains at high altitude in the mountains. Their body also adapts to that low oxygen environment by raising hemoglobin, but it does so for the purpose of peak physical performance.
Wait, so if the blood looks exactly the same on paper for both people, what happens if a wellness clinic just tries to fix that red number without asking about their actual lifestyle?
Disaster happens. If you fix the elite athlete's blood by drawing it out to lower the number, you absolutely ruin their athletic performance. You take away the adaptation they worked so hard to build.
Which is the opposite of optimizing.
Exactly. But if you try to fix the sleep apnea patient's blood count by simply drawing out the excess blood without actually treating the underlying sleep apnea,
you could severely damage their organs.
Yes. Their body desperately needs that extra oxygen-carrying capacity just to survive the night.
Context really is king. A lab result only makes sense when it is answering a specific clinical question. When you test blindly, without a question, you fall into diagnostic traps.
Absolutely.
Let's look at the ANA test, because this is one that absolutely terrifies people. ANA is a test associated with autoimmune diseases like lupus. People see a positive ANA result on their app, and their whole world stops.
It is a very common source of panic. But let's look at the actual data for a low-titer ANA test. Up to 31.7% of completely healthy adults will test positive for ANA at a 1-to-40 ratio.
Can we pause there and get an ELI-5? Explain, like I'm Belaine 5, on what a titer and a 1-to-40 ratio actually means in plain English.
Sure. A titer is essentially just a measure of how much you can dilute the blood and still detect the antibody you are looking for.
Okay.
A 1-to-40 ratio means they diluted the blood 40 times and they could still see a faint trace of the ANA antibody. It is a very low level.
Got it.
And because nearly a third of all healthy people walk around with this low level normally, testing for it without a reason is mathematically dangerous.
Because of false positives.
Yes. If you have absolutely no symptoms of an autoimmune disease, no joint pain, no rashes, an abnormal AMA result only actually indicates a real autoimmune disease 11% of the time.
Which means 89% of the time, that terrifying red flag is a complete false positive.
Yeah.
The text uses a metaphor here that is impossible to forget.
It's a vivid one.
Running a broad panel without symptoms is exactly like running a pregnancy test on a biological man. It genuinely does not matter how incredibly accurate the physical test itself is. The context guarantees that a positive result is a false positive. You cannot interpret the data without the clinical picture.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you start to see how bad interpretation gets dressed up in scientific-sounding language. You will see wellness influencers cite weak associations, mechanistic theories, or even obscure animal data to make a random lab result sound deeply meaningful for your personal health.
It sounds so convincing when they say it.
It does. But an associated marker might just be your body naturally compensating for a totally different issue, just like the athlete's hemoglobin.
Here's where it gets really interesting, and honestly a little dark. We have reached the third pillar, which is actionability.
This is the big one.
This is the ultimate trap that almost everyone falls into. We naturally assume that if a number on a page is statistically bad, and we take a pill or a supplement to make that number good, our health will automatically improve. It seems like basic common sense.
It is pervasive logic, but in medicine, it is frequently deadly wrong. The author emphasizes a key, unbending rule you must remember. Benefits follow from the way you fix it, not just the fact that you fixed it.
That is so profound.
Changing the number on a piece of paper does not guarantee improved health unless the specific method you use to change it has been proven to improve actual human outcomes.
The classic example of this from the wellness world involves the MTHFR gene and homocysteine levels. High homocysteine is strongly linked to cardiovascular risk. It is a known bad actor in the bloodstream.
Yes, it is.
So the biohacking community figured out that you could use specific B vitamins to artificially lower your homocysteine levels. And the mechanism works beautifully. You take the vitamins, you retest your blood a month later, and the number drops right into the perfect green zone.
Problem solved, right?
That's what you'd think.
The issue is, when this strategy was actually put to the test in three separate randomized controlled trials, which are the absolute gold standard of medical research, the results were stunning.
Wow.
The B vitamins successfully lowered the homocysteine numbers on paper, but there was absolutely zero improvement in cardiovascular outcomes for the patients.
Zero improvement.
They still suffered the exact same rate of heart disease. You fixed the chart, but you did absolutely nothing for the patient's actual health.
If the bad number goes down, it is hard to imagine how that could possibly be a bad thing. But there is a shocking story in Appendix 1 of the text that proves just how dangerous this assumption is.
The torstrapib story.
Yes. It is the story of a pharmaceutical drug called torstrapib. On paper, this drug was quite literally a biohacker's absolute dream. It lowered bad cholesterol, LDL, by 25%.
That's huge.
And it raised good cholesterol, HDL, by over 60%. If you were tracking your health purely by a direct-to-consumer blood panel, you would think you had discovered the fountain of youth.
The lab numbers looked miraculous, but the reality was a tragedy. When the massive randomized controlled trial was finally conducted, it revealed that torcerpib caused a 58% relative increase in death and a 25% increase in heart attacks.
A 58% increase in death while their cholesterol looked perfect.
That is the terror of treating the number instead of the patient. If an unknowing person had just taken this compound to optimize their labs, they would have seen incredible green light blood work right up until the moment they suffered a fatal heart attack.
Man.
And because their labs looked so flawless, they never would have suspected the drug was killing them.
It is a chilling reminder, and there is another incredibly vivid example in Appendix 2 regarding mercury toxicity. Let's say you take a test, and your blood shows high mercury levels because you've been eating a lot of tuna. Not ideal.
No, not ideal.
The safe, scientifically proven action is simply to stop eating so much tuna. Your body has incredible natural mechanisms to slowly excrete that mercury through your bile, and the blood level will safely come down over time.
But instead, some fringe wellness practitioners push for something called chelation therapy. Chelation agents are chemicals that bind tightly to heavy metals to pull them out of the blood quickly.
No.
The action of chelation drops the blood number much faster than natural excretion.
Which sounds like a win if you are just staring at the app waiting for the red number to turn green. Why is that a bad approach?
Because the body often protects itself from excess mercury by sequestering it, storing it away safely in tissues where it cannot do immediate harm to your vital organs.
Oh, I see.
Chelation therapy aggressively pulls that sequestered mercury out of safe storage, flooding it back into your active bloodstream. This massive re-exposure can cause severe liver injury, catastrophic kidney damage, or even death.
That's horrifying.
The action of chelation drops the number on your lab report faster, but it introduces massive, life-threatening harm to your actual body. Once again, the benefit follows the method of the fix, not the fact that you fixed the lab.
We have to stop confusing the lab tests with the actual disease. But this brings up a massive contradiction. If these giant wellness panels are so deeply flawed,
and they are,
if they are unreliable, uninterpretable without context, and often lead to harmful, rushed actions, why do so many people swear by them? You can go online right now and read thousands of glowing reviews from people claiming these panels save their lives.
The answer lies in the most misunderstood phenomenon in medicine, which is the placebo effect. When people hear the word placebo, they assume it means a fake result or that the patient is just imagining their symptoms.
Right, like it's all in their head.
But the placebo effect is a profound, measurable biological reality. When people take a proactive action to improve a lab result, even if the pill or supplement does absolutely nothing biologically, they very often experience genuine physical relief from their vague symptoms.
The text highlights some mind-blowing statistics about how powerful the placebo effect really is.
Mm-hmm.
It is not just about feeling a little less tired.
Not at all.
The placebo effect works on highly trained competitive lifters, allowing them to push more weight simply because they believe they were given a performance enhancer.
Yes.
In clinical trials, sham surgeries, where they just make an incision and do nothing, can rival the pain relief of actual meniscus surgery in the knee.
That one always astounds me.
The placebo effect demonstrably lowers blood pressure. It is successfully used to treat the severe trauma of PTSD. Under clinical observation, placebos can even cause full-blown psychedelic trips in patients who think they took a hallucinogen.
And strangely enough, statistical analysis of medical trials shows that the placebo effect is actually getting stronger over time. The danger here is that it creates incredibly convincing but entirely false anecdotes.
How does that play out?
Well, someone takes an unproven, potentially dangerous supplement to fix a meaningless 5% lab variance they found on an app. They genuinely feel better due to the placebo effect. Then they go online, write a massive review, and tell the world that they found the hidden root cause when traditional doctors had failed them.
Which then encourages the next person to go try a risky biohack, potentially exposing themselves to hidden, lethal dangers, like we saw with torcerpib or chelation therapy.
Yeah, exactly.
So what does this all mean? Are we just throwing all blood work in the trash.
Not at all. Blood work is a spectacular life-saving diagnostic tool when used properly. It just operates under much narrower conditions than the wellness optimization marketing engine would have you believe.
The author gives a fantastic example of when blood work actually works the way it's supposed to. Imagine a woman who has been chronically exhausted for months.
Okay.
She is always freezing cold, she is dealing with constipation, her hair is noticeably thinning, and she is gaining weight despite no changes to her diet. She rationalizes it all away as just stress from work or getting older, but she finally goes to a doctor who listens to her symptoms and orders a targeted test. Her TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone, comes back at 20.
This is a completely different scenario from the wellness panels. A TSH of 20 is not a tiny 5% fluctuation sitting at the edge of machine variance. It is a massive, undeniable biological deviation.
Real red flag.
More importantly, the blood work confirms a specific clinical picture. The physical symptoms she is experiencing all fit together coherently with the lab result, and there is an actionable, thoroughly proven treatment, thyroid hormone replacement, that will safely resolve the underlying condition and relieve her suffering.
That makes perfect sense.
This raises an important question about the fundamental difference between luck and strategy in medicine. If you run a massive, untargeted 50-panel blood test on a healthy person, you might occasionally stumble upon a real hidden issue.
Right.
But that is just a blind fishing expedition. Just because you occasionally catch a fish does not make throwing dynamite into a lake a sound medical strategy. It is just pure luck being mistaken for a brilliant method. And the cost of that luck is the massive hazard of overdiagnosis, false alarms, and fake optimizations that carry hidden, sometimes fatal, risks.
So what does this all mean? Let's recap our mission today. We wanted to understand how to view your health data through the critical lens of a great doctor. For a test to actually mean anything, it has to pass three strict tests.
The three pillars.
First, is it reliable? Do you understand the invisible error bars and your body's natural variance? Second, is it interpretable? Does the number make sense in the context of your actual physical symptoms, or is it just a statistical false alarm?
And third, is it actionable?
Right. Does changing the number actually improve your human life, or are you just treating a piece of paper? Blood work is a powerful diagnostic tool, but it is not an optimization cheat code.
Before we go, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. Dr. Hakim includes a 12-step framework in the text for how doctors evaluate new treatments, and he mentions two vital concepts you should demand before taking action.
What are they?
Next time you are tempted to optimize a health metric with a new supplement or biohack, do not just ask if it works in theory. Look for two specific numbers that doctors use. The NNT, which is the number needed to treat, and the NNH, the number needed to harm.
Meaning, how many people have to take this pill for just one person to see a benefit versus how many people have to take it before one person suffers a severe side effect.
Exactly. And finally, remember Bayes' theorem. It states that your post-test probability of having a disease depends entirely on your pre-test probability.
Give us the ELI-5 on Bayes' theorem before we sign off, maybe using that pregnancy test metaphor from earlier.
Sure. Think back to the biological man taking a pregnancy test. Before he even takes the test, his chance of being pregnant, his pretest probability, is zero. Therefore, even if the plastic stick turns blue and says positive, his post-test probability is still zero. That is Bayes' theorem in action. If you have absolutely no symptoms of a disease to begin with, your pretest probability is incredibly low. So even if an app flashes a red number at you, your mathematical chance of an actual benefit from treating it is incredibly close to zero, while your risk of hidden harm remains entirely real.
A brilliant and sobering challenge to end on. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. We hope it helps you stay curious, stay safe, and think critically about your data the next time you look at a health app. Take care.